Corinthians. And we are in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, in which the Lord is speaking to us about wisdom. If you remember from last time, we began looking at this text last time, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are in verses 6 through 16, and we're talking about the wisdom that we speak among the mature. Last time we looked at the source of this wisdom, and today we talk about just how special this gift is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, and I'll read through verse 10. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. And we'll stop there in the midst of verse 10. Wise King Solomon once said, happy is the man who finds wisdom. It's true. The one who finds the wisdom of God, the one who enjoys the wisdom of God, is especially blessed. Paul says here in verse 6, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. We is the Apostle Paul and Sosthenes and Apollos and Peter and Christ and the other apostles and all of us who have received Christ. In Christ, we have received the wisdom of God. And he says in verse 6, we speak that wisdom. We speak it in every setting. We speak it at Bible studies. We speak it in church. We preach it. We teach it. We counsel with it and we comfort with it. We speak wisdom. Wisdom is skill for living. Wisdom is knowledge plus understanding of how to use it. And you recall last time, we looked at the source of this wisdom. Where do we get the wisdom that we speak? Well, it's not, verse 6, the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. Why do we not speak their wisdom? The end of verse 6 says, they are coming to nothing. That means they are in the process of being destroyed. The rulers of this age and the wisdom of this age is a wisdom that is, in fact, foolishness. It says that over in chapter 3, verse 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So our wisdom is not coming from man. It is not coming from this age. Where does it come from? We speak, verse 7, the wisdom of God. The source of the wisdom that we speak in the churches among the mature is God himself. And that means this wisdom is pure, but it's also very precious. And that's what I want you to see this morning, beloved. The wisdom that we speak, the wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom that we have in Christ, the wisdom that we have written down in Scripture is a very precious gift. That's what I want you to see this morning. And to that end, we are going to look first at the packaging. I want you to see what this gift is packaged in. We're going to look at the packaging of this gift. We're going to look at the predestination and purpose of this gift. Those two go together in verse 7. The predestination and purpose of this gift. And then the people. We'll look at the people who receive this gift and then the power. You know, if you got a cool gift as a kid, if you got walkie-talkies, you wanted the gift to come with batteries. Well, we have received this gift with power that is beyond comprehension. First, I want you to notice the packaging of this gift, which is God's wisdom. Notice verse 7. I hope you have your Bibles open. You'll need to follow along closely. But we speak the wisdom of God, and here's the packaging, in a mystery hidden. in a mystery hidden. Literally, it says this: the of God wisdom in a mystery having been concealed. And that phrase, in a mystery having been concealed, or in a mystery having been hidden, in a mystery having been packaged, that describes the packaging of the mystery, or of the wisdom that we have in Christ. A mystery, the Greek word is mysterion, from which we get mystery, refers to something that is not readily known, but in this case, it refers to something that is not knowable at all by natural means. The wisdom of God is not knowable by natural means. Notice verse 14. Take a look down at verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The things of the Spirit of God, talking about God's wisdom, which centers on Christ and Him crucified. The natural man does not receive this wisdom of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The wisdom of God which we speak among the mature is a wisdom that God has hidden in a mystery. It's been hidden. By whom? By God. It's been hidden. When? In the past. But with continuing effects in the present day. It's a wisdom that's been hidden with what result? With this result. Not everyone gets it. The result is that God's wisdom, which centers on Christ and Him crucified, it remains hidden from everyone except those to whom God reveals it. Picture it this way. Think of it this way. God's wisdom has been put in a treasure chest. And that treasure chest on the outside is marked mystery, which is like a lock on the treasure chest. And no one can penetrate that mystery. No one can penetrate into the wisdom of God without the key. And only God gives the key, and He gives it only in Jesus Christ. That's the wisdom that we speak. The packaging is that this wisdom is in a mystery having been concealed. It is even now in that state. The result of that is you may speak the wisdom of God in plain English, in terms that even a child can understand, but the response to the wisdom you speak is, that's foolishness. Take a look back at chapter 1, verse 23. We preach Christ crucified. And Christ crucified is at the very center of the wisdom we speak. The wisdom we speak refers to the gospel in all its fullness. But the central truth of the gospel is that the God of heaven sent down His Son, Jesus Christ, to be a once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That is at the heart of the wisdom we speak. We preach, chapter 1, verse 23, Christ crucified. But what is it to the Jews? To the Jews, it is a stumbling block. It's certainly not wisdom. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. It causes them to stumble. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness. How can you have God coming down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ and have Him be a man and yet God at the same time, and yet have this God still up in heaven to whom Jesus prays, and yet there's only one God? It's foolishness to the Greeks. But to those who are called, verse 24, to those who are called by the grace of God, both Jews and Greeks, and God calls to Himself people from among both Jews and Greeks, to those who are called Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The packaging of this precious gift we call the gospel, the wisdom of God, it is in a mystery hidden. To us, this mystery has been revealed. By the grace of God, we get it. By the grace of God, we see Jesus as the Christ. By the grace of God, we see in Christ a Savior for our sins. By the grace of God, we see this as good news. To us, the mystery has been revealed. Verse 10 said, God has revealed it to us through His Spirit. This is an amazing reality. You know, it's like this. Do you remember the story in the book of Matthew when Jesus began speaking in parables? Do you remember that? All of a sudden, at the end of Matthew 12, after the Pharisees and the scribes had rejected all the revelation they'd been given, Jesus begins speaking in parables. You remember that? You have the parable of the sower and the parable of the dragnet and all those parables. And the disciples could tell that now suddenly the packaging has changed. And they approached Jesus and they said to Him, why do You speak to them in parables? Remember that? Matthew 13, verse 10. And you know, so many people say, well, the answer is Jesus began speaking to them in parables to make it easier. No, He did not. No, Jesus answered and He said to them, because to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So let me ask you this. Do you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you see the gospel as good news? Do you see this as good news, that God sent Jesus into the world, He lived a perfect and holy life, and then He sacrificed His life on the cross, and on the third day He rose up again from the dead? Can you say with a whole heart, man, that is good news? If so, that's because to you it has been given to know the mystery. But to those who are outside, it has not been given. And this is just the packaging of God's great gift. It comes in a mystery having been hidden. Notice now the predestination and purpose of this gift, God's wisdom. Notice verse 7. Take a look. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery having been hidden, wisdom which God ordained or predestined before the ages for our glory. God ordained it, literally, He predestined it. Prahorizo, from which we get horizon, only there's a prefix on it, pre-horizon. And this word was used to mean marking off with boundaries. It was actually used of determining an inheritance on paper. Imagine you have a nice piece of land. Let's say that you've got a piece of land outside of Pueblo, maybe up in the mountains in Westcliff. And you want to mark off and designate that that great piece of land is to be inherited by your children. Then you would predestine it. You would mark it off beforehand. You would establish the boundaries and you would have an official document that marks this land off to be given to your children. God has done that with His wisdom in Christ. He has predestined it. He has marked it off as with boundaries to be inherited by His children. Now, before we leave that thought, let me tell you, this word predestine or ordain is used 6 times in the New Testament, and from it we learn that our sovereign God predestines certain things. Well, like what? God predestined the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He marked off the boundaries. He determined when it would happen, where it would happen, and how it would happen. Acts 4:28. In a prayer, the apostle said, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they were gathered together to do what your hand and your purpose predestined to be done. God predestined the crucifixion of Christ. What else? God predestined Christians to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28 and 29. I know you know Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And then it says this, for whom He foreknew, that means God in the past set His love on certain people, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. God predestined his children to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He also predestined our adoption as sons into the family of God. Ephesians 1:5 says that. He predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. He also predestined our inheritance of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him, that means in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of God, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So let me ask you this. What you just heard, either you hear that and you receive it as, man, that's good news. God predestined the cross. He predestined me to be conformed to the image of Christ. He predestined that I would be adopted into the family of God. He predestined that I would inherit heaven. Either you receive that as good news, or you receive that as a bunch of words that don't mean anything. I tell you this, that if you receive all of that as good news, know this, God predestined his wisdom before the ages for your glory. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:7. We speak the wisdom of God, packaged in a mystery hidden, but which God predestined before the ages in eternity past, for what ultimate purpose? What is the purpose of God's wisdom? What's it say at the end of verse 7? For our glory. That's more than just for our good. Glory is used most often in the Bible to speak of God's presence. The glory of God, right? Moses said, show me your glory. And God came down and God was present there with Moses on the mount, and he revealed his glory in a sentence. Glory refers to the presence of God. But what will eternity be for us? It's when we will be in the glorious, bright, shining presence of God. And all of his great attributes, all the reasons we worship God, will be on visible display. God predestined his wisdom for our glory. And that tells you there's a connection between the wisdom of God and where we're headed. What's the connection? What's the connection between the wisdom of God and where we're headed? The wisdom of God is the means to get us there. The wisdom of God is what God uses to save us from beginning to end. Take a look back at 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Stop there. That tells you the world, by all its great powers to create iPhones and tablets and iPads, by that wisdom, they do not come to a saving knowledge of God. They can't get there with their wisdom. In the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. What does God use to save those who believe? The foolishness of his wisdom. The foolishness of the message preached. The foolishness of the message about Christ and the cross and the resurrection and then all the rest of this glorious wisdom we have in Christ. What is the connection between God's wisdom and where we're headed? God uses his wisdom to save us from beginning to end. The Bible says that by the word of God, we are born again. James 1, verse 18. By the wisdom of God, we are continually, progressively set apart. Jesus prayed, sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. And by the wisdom of God, we grow in Christ all the way unto salvation. 1 Peter 2:2 and 3 says, desire this pure milk of the word. Desire the wisdom of God's word. Desire the truth out of it, that you may grow thereby all the way unto your eternal salvation. Later in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, this is the wisdom of God, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you also are being saved, if you hold fast that word which was preached to you, unless you believed in vain. The wisdom of God is the means by which God is bringing us all the way to glory. What am I saying? Stop. Make sure you get what I'm saying, because I'm saying a lot. God's wisdom is a very special gift. Well, what's the package? A special gift comes in a special package. What's the package that God's wisdom comes in? It comes in a mystery having been hidden. Not everyone gets it. Well, who's it destined for? It's predestined for us. Well, what's the purpose of that gift? It's predestined for our glory. The purpose of this gift of God's wisdom is to get us through all the hard times, through all the difficulties, through all the questions, through all the turmoil, through all the trials, all the way until we enter into the glory of our King. That is the purpose of this gift. Well, does everybody know that? No. No, let's talk about the people who get this gift. Verse 8 says, none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is saying that none of the rulers of this age knew the wisdom of God, which again centers on the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. None of the rulers of this age got it. Well, how do you know that none of the rulers of this age, and by the way, he's talking about Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentile rulers. He's talking about Annas and Caiaphas, the Jewish rulers. He's saying, you know, none of them got it. How do you know? Well, look what they did with Christ. What did they do with him? They crucified him. Well, they obviously did not get the wisdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. For if they had, they would not have crucified whom? What does it say at the end of verse 8? The Lord of glory. That's who Jesus is. He is the Lord, that's Jehovah in the Old Testament, Yahweh. He is the sovereign God of glory, which some would say means that he dispenses glory. Others would say that he came in glory. Others would say he returned to glory. Others would say he reigns over glory. And I would say those are all true. He is the Lord of glory. He came from glory. He revealed his glory to the apostles. We beheld his glory. Then he went back up to glory. He now reigns in glory. He's the only one who can take you to glory. But what did they do with this Lord of glory? They executed him like a common criminal, hanging him on a tree. What do the rulers of this age today do with Christ? He's no longer walking on the earth. So if you want to know what they do with Christ, watch what they do with Bibles. Watch what they do with the church. Watch what they do with Christians. What are the rulers of this age doing with Christ, the church, which is his body, the Bible, which is his word? What are they doing with it? Rejecting. Right? In a word, rejecting. So none of the rulers of this age today know this wisdom of God, or they would not keep on standing against the Lord of glory. Well, then who does know it? Who knows this wisdom? Look at verse 9. But as it is written, our memory verse, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for whom? For those who love him. For those who love God. Do you love God? I remember when, before I was a Christian, we built a little house. As I've told this testimony many times, we built a little house next to a little church. And as we were building the house, I think we already had Jake and we were expecting Jordan to come along anytime. As we were building that house, we said, you know, we ought to get back into going into church. Because we thought that that's the main thing. We thought, you know, main thing is just go to church. And I remember one of the questions, one of the many questions that a man from that church asked me was, do you love God? I want to ask you that this morning. I mean, could you say with all your heart, I love God? Do you love Jesus Christ? Can you say that this morning? Ah, I love Jesus Christ. Can you say that and mean it? Because I tell you, the wisdom of God which we speak among the mature is wisdom that God has prepared for those who love Him. It's wisdom that does not enter into the ear. It comes this far and doesn't sink in. It does not enter into the heart. It comes this far, but it doesn't enter the heart. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Many people think this is talking about heaven. It's talking about way more than heaven. This is talking about the wisdom of God which is found in Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God has prepared His precious wisdom, packaged it in a mystery, predestined it before the ages for our glory. He's prepared it for a particular people, the people who love God. Do you love God? I do. I can tell you with all my heart, I love God. But here's the question. For you who love God, here's a question for you. How is it that we love God and they don't? How is it that we love God and we receive this wisdom, but they don't? How is that possible? Maybe we're smarter than everybody else. And we could just say, well, I'm just a lot smarter, you know. And I've heard that before. Heard someone say, well, you know, I was sitting there. That guy beside me, he heard the same thing I heard. I had the sense to respond. Really? Really, you had the sense to... Well, that would make you a better person. You would be wiser. That would make you smarter. That would make you a man who could boast in himself. Only the previous verse says, that's not what happened. The previous chapter actually says that God chose us so that no flesh would boast before Him. God chose us so that if anyone boasts, let him boast in the Lord. So how is it that we love God? The truth is this, 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. That's the reason. It's like saying, you know, I love Papa because Papa first loved me. Only we're talking about our Heavenly Father. We love Him because He first loved us. 1 Corinthians 1:30, of Him, of God, of His grace you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as if the list should go on. He's become everything to us for a purpose, so that he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. What am I wanting you to see? I'm wanting you to see how special, how precious, how cool this gift of God's wisdom is that we have in Christ. Think about the packaging. God has packaged His wisdom in a mystery. It is in a mystery, having been concealed by God, so that not everyone gets it, but we do. Think about the predestination of this gift. God predestined. He marked off in eternity past, as with boundaries, that this gift of His wisdom in Christ would be for us. Think of the purpose of God's gift. This gift, God's wisdom, is to get us from conversion all the way to consummation and through all the trials that would meet us along the way. It's by this wisdom that God holds on to us, that He shapes us, that He sharpens us. And think about the people for whom this gift is given. It is prepared for those who love God. And finally, I want you to notice the power of this gift. This gift comes with power. Verse 10, But God, He is the only way that we can know what we know. God has revealed them. Them refers to all the deep truths of God's wisdom. God has revealed these things to us. How? Through His Spirit. Through His Holy Spirit. Who is it that had the power and has the power to convict us in sin. Who is it that had the power and has the power to convince us that we need a Savior? Who is it that has the power to open our blind eyes to see Jesus as Savior and as Lord? Who is it that has the power to take the wisdom of God and make it do its work in us who believe? Who is it who regenerated us and who keeps on continually renewing us as time goes on? It's not us. We don't have that power by ourselves. Titus 3:3, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What an awful picture of our former life. Titus 3, verse 3. But, verse 4, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, probably referring to the appearance of Jesus Christ, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How did He do it? Through the washing of regeneration and the continual renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Along with His wisdom, God has given us another very precious gift, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says that right here. We have received, verse 12, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We've received the Spirit of Jesus Christ Himself. Why? So that we might know the things, this wisdom, freely given to us by God. What is God saying to you this morning? What is God saying to you who have trusted in Christ? He's telling you, I have given you a gift. A precious, priceless gift. That gift is the wisdom of God in Christ, which is deep, which is vast, which covers all things. God is saying, I have given you that wisdom in a very special package. It is in a mystery hidden. Not everyone gets this gift that you have been given. And it has been predestined by God before time began for your ultimate attainment of the glory of heaven. And none of the rulers of this age know this gift. They don't have what you have. If they had it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't keep crucifying the Lord of glory over and over again to this day. They don't have it, but God has prepared it for you who love God. And He's revealed it to you through His Spirit, and He's also given you His Spirit so that you might understand all the great wisdom that He's given you in Christ. That's what God is telling you this morning. What do you think should be your response? What should be our response to this amazing gift of God's wisdom? How about thank you? How about thank you? Turn to Matthew 11. Jesus, in response to this reality, that God had hidden His wisdom from some, but had revealed it to others. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, now at that time is at the time when Jesus can see all around Him, people are rejecting the gospel. Now, it seems like this would be a time to go into deep depression. Jesus has been out preaching the gospel and warning of judgment, and people are not repenting, right? Just above this, verse 20, He began to rebuke the cities in which most of His mighty works had been done because they didn't repent. Jesus has been going through the cities, doing great works, pouring out His life for people, doing miracles, and they're not repenting. And wouldn't you think that the response would be, well, I guess I'm just not called to the ministry. I've just been pouring my guts out and they're not repenting. Things. Wouldn't you think that this would be the time for Jesus to say, well, I guess I should just quit? Instead, he says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, verse 25, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Jesus is responding to the truth that actually you have just seen in 1 Corinthians 2. God has hidden his great wisdom from the wise and the mighty and the rulers of this age, but he has revealed the deep things of God to babes. And Jesus' response is, thank you, Father. Thank you that you did it that way. Verse 26, even so, Father, and here's the explanation for why God did it that way. For so it seemed good in your sight. Beloved, I'm telling you, it seemed good in the sight of God to package his wisdom in a mystery, predestine it for you, for your attainment of glory, hide it from all the wise, mighty rulers of this age, but give it to you who love him, and reveal it to you along with his Holy Spirit, who convicts you, who guides you, who encourages you, who reminds you of things you've forgotten, so that you will certainly make it all the way into the glorious presence of Jesus Christ. And one of the right responses is to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for letting me have this wisdom. There is another right response, and I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Everything that Paul is saying is flowing from one command. And this command is basically, I want you all to unite. You remember there were divisions, there were contentions. People had the wrong focus in the church in Corinth. They were just focused on the wrong things. And it was causing division and fighting and contention. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Stop there. We're in a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where Paul says, we speak wisdom among the mature, right? We speak the wisdom of God. What is his plea here in 1 Corinthians 1:10? I plead with you that we all speak the same thing. You should want to speak the wisdom of God. You should want to preach and teach and counsel and teach your kids and comfort and make disciples. You should want to take the wisdom of God, learn it so well that you could teach it to children in Awana or a kids club or children's church or in your own home or in your neighbor's home. You should want to know the wisdom of God so well that you become a teacher of it. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, so that there be no divisions among you, but that you would be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. The same mind means I want you all to have the same mindset, the same way of looking at this world, the same way of looking at tragedies. And the same judgment means I want you to be making decisions in the same way. How? God's wisdom. God's wisdom. If we all take the gift that God has given us, that's in a mystery hidden, but predestined for our glory, if we all take that wisdom and take it seriously, we will grow in greater likeness to Christ. We will all be speaking the same kinds of things to the glory of God. And we will all have a similar mindset in how we view the world around us and the things that take place day to day. And we will all be united in our judgment about how to live our day-to-day lives. Boy, that is to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great wisdom, the wisdom which we have in Jesus Christ. And we confess to you, Father, that we are weak. We are weak in our understanding of it all. We are weak in our ability to speak it all. But we do understand this. You have given us a precious treasure. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. and who gains understanding. For her proceeds, the profit gained from knowing and finding and understanding your wisdom, is better than gold and silver. And all the things that we can desire cannot be compared with her. Father, help us to treasure the wisdom you've given us in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.